Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name, and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them aside and then knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. The senior choristers, this is their last Sunday that they will be able to sing at the 11 o'clock service before their well-earned summer break that starts next month. And even though they are a little bit small in number today because of so many weekend conflicts for the rest of the senior choristers, they are mighty in spirit. And we are grateful to be joined by Pam and Paula from the Cathedral Choir.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testifies to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is often referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. Today we focus on the image that Jesus gave of himself as a shepherd, and all that that teaches us about how we should relate to God. And I believe that within the image of the Good Shepherd, God gives us an answer for how to deal with stress. Now, the word stress originally was a term that was used in construction. It referred to a beam or a support, how much weight it could bear, how much stress it could bear before it would break. Today, we have come to use the word stress to refer more to emotional or psychological weight that bears down upon us. When we feel stressed, we feel overwhelmed, right? We feel as if there's too much demands upon us. Stress, the doctors say, can cause even illness, disruption in relationships, lack of sleep, a feeling of craziness. Now, when a carpenter builds a chair, that chair is designed to bear a certain amount of weight. And as long as people who are not too heavy sit upon the chair, everything is good and the chair can last forever. But if someone who is very, very heavy sits down upon the chair and puts more weight on it than it was designed to hold, the chair can crack or even break. Now, God designed you to bear a certain amount of stress, a certain amount of challenge. God designed you to live in this crazy world after all, right? So a certain amount of chaos is okay. But when there is too much chaos, too much busyness, too much illness or conflict or catastrophe, that's when we feel like we're at the breaking point. Now, Jesus himself never used the word stress. There was no word for that in his time. And yet, if we look closely to his teaching about the Good Shepherd, we will find that Jesus is giving us the tools for living a life of peace, for rising above stress and chaos, and experiencing an inner calm within us that continues no matter what happens to us in our lives. In the book of Acts that Delavan read so beautifully, there is the story of a very devout woman whose name is Dorcas or Tabitha. Tabitha would be Aramaic, Dorcas the Greek. This woman was a widow, but she was very well-to-do and very, very faithful and generous. She would sew clothing for other widows, because when a woman's husband died, if he left her with no resources, there was no one more poor or desolate, because women couldn't earn a living. So poor widows were distraught and desperate. So Dorcas would spend time sewing clothing for them, or she would give them money, or she would welcome them to live with her. And then all of a sudden, this generous woman who bore a lot of weight in the village died, and people were distraught. So the scene opens with Dorcas's body lying on a bed, and all of these widows are surrounding the body and they're wailing, and they've brought with them the clothes that she sewed for them as a sign of her love. And they call Peter. Now Peter, as we know, was one of Jesus's disciples who is redeemed by him, and who knows the voice of the Good Shepherd so well that sometimes he speaks it. Peter enters the room where Dorcas's body is lying, and like Elijah and Elisha and even Jesus before him, he ushers everybody out. Shoo! Leave, everyone. And once he is alone with Dorcas's body, he speaks to her. He says to her very simply, "Tabitha," because he spoke Aramaic, "Tabitha, get up. Tabitha, arise." And this woman's soul, which has already passed on beyond death, hears the voice and comes back. Enters Dorcas's body, and she gets up. That's how obedient this woman was. She listened to the voice all the way from the grave and followed all the way back into her body and back into life. And that, my friends, is the key to rising above all stress and feeling peaceful in your life. The key is so simple, and it's this: obedience. If you want to feel peace in your life, all you have to do is follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Be obedient to God. When we realize that our life really belongs to God, and God really can lead us in every single decision that we make, then we can begin to not feel so attached to everything that causes us stress and pain. We can lift above the stress. Get up, Peter says to Dorcas. Rise up. above the weeds. Your life will continue to be chaotic. That is the broken world that we live in. But you can listen to God with every decision that you make. Now, thinking about being obedient to God scares all of us. It scares me, because I think that if I'm going to give my life to God, I'll be moving to Nairobi tomorrow. Or I'll be taking up residence in the Sulzbacher Center and serving every single meal to the homeless people. But that's not how God works. Think about it for a minute with me. How many of you have ever seen a real live shepherd herding sheep? If you have, raise your hand. Ah, quite a few of you. You've done some traveling. There are still real live shepherds along the Sea of Galilee. So a shepherd, in guiding his or her sheep, mostly his sheep, do they give the sheep a long-range plan? Do they tell the sheep that they want them to change careers? Do they even tell the sheep that they want them to go 5 miles down that way to the left? No. A shepherd operates by calling the name of the sheep, and the sheep will come, or by using a rod or staff to poke and nudge and pull the sheep. The shepherd guides the sheep moment to moment, keeping them safe and corralled and going in the right direction. But the shepherd doesn't ask the sheep to do monumental, huge, long-range things, because the sheep, frankly, don't understand that, right? The shepherd operates by nudging and poking and prodding the sheep and sometimes calling them. I want you to consider that in order to be obedient to God, you need to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd as being a voice that nudges you and prods you and calls you moment to moment in all the little things. And this may sound strange, but I think we all need to ask God what to do in every single decision we make. Should I go to the grocery store? Should I say I'm sorry to my spouse for yelling at them? Should I go out to dinner tonight? It sounds mundane, I know. But God is present with you in every single moment. And in every moment, we should invite the Good Shepherd to lead us. Now, when you ask God to help you make a decision, you may not always hear a voice. But God has given us certain signposts, like St. Paul gives us the fruits of the Spirit: love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, patience, self-service. If what you're doing, if your inclination is to do anything that reflects those fruits of the Spirit, it's probably God's will. How many of you have been fighting with a friend and you're about to say something mean, but you hear this little nudge that says, don't do that? Elijah called it the still small voice. I'd call it the nudge. Oftentimes, you know that the Good Shepherd is prodding you in a certain direction. If you would only stop and listen, moment by moment, to every single thing that you do. And often, just by asking the question, God, what would you have me do? We invite the shepherd into the conversation. And sometimes the shepherd thinks either way is okay. Sometimes we don't get a clear nudge, but just by inviting him in, we know that we're still safe. We're still within the shepherd's will. Back in 1491, a man was born whose name was Ignatius. He grew up to be quite a ladies' man. He loved wearing handsome clothes. He was a soldier. He liked playing the part of the hero, impressing the ladies. Until one day, Ignatius was wounded in battle. His leg was broken badly, and the doctor set it wrong so that the bone kind of stuck out. And Ignatius didn't like the way his wet leg looked in tights. So he decided he was willing to have three horrible surgeries just to get the bone straight so he would look good. After the surgeries, Ignatius had to lie in bed for months in his older brother's house, and he wanted to read novels about courageous soldiers or great romances. But he found that his older brother only had books about God, and that bored him. But his older brother's sister put some of the books next to Ignatius's bed. And something nudged Ignatius, or should I say someone, nudged him to pick up a book about God. He became fascinated. The more he read about God, the more he began to change his heart and mind. He began to realize that pursuing courage or success in war, or trying to get a lot of women's admiration, it seemed to be shallow to him, whereas pursuing God felt so rich and so deep. Ignatius began to pray, and he became one of the greatest saints in the church, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit movement. And all of this came about not because God said, "I want you to become a saint," but because God nudged him to pick up a book. You see, that's how the Good Shepherd talks, by poking you, by prodding you, by nudging you every moment of your life. Who would have thought that a great saint could become a saint just because he picked up a book? You may think that the small things you do in life do not matter, but you don't understand the ramifications of every little thing you do, of how it could change you, change the people around you, impact the world. Rise above the stress of this life, says the Good Shepherd. Rise above by simply asking for me to guide you. You are not responsible for everything. The Good Shepherd will take care of you, moment by moment, hour by hour. Get up. Rise up. And experience the peace that comes when we hand our lives over to the one who lives within us and for us, who created us and made us and loves us, and who calls us each by name and nudges and prods and pulls every day of our lives. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. For he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. I invite you to speak their names aloud.
Don, Donna, and Greg.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. We pray especially this morning for Father Rene Robert. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those who need our prayers.
For Pat, for Nancy, for Reed, for Bobby.
Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially for Christians who are being persecuted around the world, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East and in Nigeria, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
Gracious and loving God, our Heavenly Father, you have called us in this diocese to a goodly community of faith. You have called us also to bring others to know and love you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Because it is only by your mercy that we can do those good things you require of us, we pray that you would give us a special measure of your grace as we seek to be obedient to your great commission. Assist us, O Lord, and help us as we set out to do those things you would have us to do, to bring others to the knowledge and love of you. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, help us to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, a voice which may call us or nudge us or prod us in each and every moment of our lives. This we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold it up so they can find you. We're so glad you're with us today. Welcome, welcome. Just keep your hand up till they come. So glad you're here. We have a lot to be thankful for in this place and a lot going on. If you look at your bulletin insert and read it, you'll see all the things that are going on. Just a couple highlights. David Erickson is at a conference this weekend and throughout the early part of the week at the Lilly School of Philanthropy. So he's learning about development work. And he is up in the Washington, D.C. area having a good time. Next Sunday will be my last Sunday before I go on sabbatical. I'll be gone May 1st and coming back August 1st. So I will miss you all very much. I'll be writing a book and spending time with my family and just praying and listening. So every 6 or so years, the church advises that priests do this, and I'm a little nervous. I'm going to miss you. I like being here. So I will miss you. But I'll be going to lots of different churches and getting great ideas. So when I come back, we'll have lots to do. There is an Age Well workshop after church today with lunch in Ingram Lounge, and I hope you will come, all of you who are interested. Look at your bulletin for details about that. Next Sunday is the St. George's Evensong, and we have a very special preacher. As many of you know, the headmaster of Episcopal School of Jacksonville died tragically a few years ago, and we started a search process, and we couldn't find anyone who seemed to fit the bill. So good Charlie Zimmer, who was the former headmaster, agreed to stay on for another 4 years. And we did another national search, and we finally found our guy. His name is the Reverend Adam Green, and yes, he's a priest as well as a headmaster. He went to Yale Divinity School, and I knew him from there a bit, knew of him. He is going to be our preacher at the St. George's Evensong. And I'm so excited because, you know, schools can drift secular. And if you put a priest as the headmaster, we're in good shape. So I'm really excited for him to come, and I hope you will meet him. He starts officially on June 1st as the headmaster at Episcopal School of Jacksonville. And last but not least, Pentecost is coming, the birthday of the church. We're going to be doing confirmations and affirmations and reaffirmations. So if you would like to be part of that, the bishop will be coming. He says a prayer. He lays his hands on you. If you're interested, just call the office. I'm actually going to sit in the pew because my son Jake's going to be confirmed. So I'll be a mom that day. So I hope you all will join us for that great celebration. And I don't know if you know, but our worship is a little complicated, right? There's a lot of people up here doing stuff. And so in a cathedral, there is a unique role called that of the verger. When I was in a little church, I had to do it all myself, make sure the lay readers showed up, make sure the ushers were doing the right thing. But thank God here at a cathedral, we have vergers who do that, so I can talk to you, right? These vergers do a lot of training. They train for at least 6 months to become a verger, and we're going to install a new verger today, Beth Wilson. We're so glad you're going to do it. So come on up, vergers. And let us make a new verger. Everyone, you should have an insert in your bulletin, I believe. Do you? Yes, you're nodding. That's a good thing. All the vergers and priests are coming down to be with us. Good. Since the early days of the church, laypersons have been commissioned to assist the clergy and laity in the conduct of divine liturgy. The position of verger developed in medieval England, where they served as the protector of the procession. They walked before clergy, deans, or bishops as they processed within the precincts of the church or cathedral. They carried a large mace or verge, which is like a big stick, like the shepherd, and it was often used to dissuade animals or unruly people from disrupting the procession. So I guess they bop people on the head with it. Today, the verger more typically assists the clergy in planning services and helps oversee the preparations for each service of the church. The candidate may now be presented. As the person you present been prepared for her office by a commitment to Christ our Lord, by regular attendance at worship, and by the knowledge of her duties to the exercise of the office of verger, to the honor of God and the welfare of God's church? Beth, you have been called to the ministry of verger of St. John's Cathedral. Will you, as long as you are engaged in this work, perform it with diligence?
I will.
Will you strive to maintain the dignity of this office and to be a witness of God's call to love and serve?
I will.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, bless the ministry of Beth. Give her understanding and patience to persevere in the fulfillment of her duties, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and the service of others, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of God and of this congregation, I commission you to serve as verger in this parish. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you. Amen. All right, let's put on our purple, everybody. Nice accompaniment. Let's give her a round of applause. Yay, Beth. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Peter, Dorcas, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Listen for the nudges, the prods, and the pushes. Be in relationship with God each and every moment of your life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.